I've been a financial advisor for over 25 years, and all that time, I've never seen a Social Security proposal that raises this many questions all at once. It's called the six-figure limit, and whether you're 45 or 65, and whether you earn $60,000 a year or $200,000, this is something you need to understand before you finalize your retirement plan. Before we dive into the proposal itself, let's talk about why this is even on the table, because if you don't understand the problem, you can't evaluate the solution. Here's the reality. We've all heard this before. Social Security faces a massive funding shortfall. The trust funds are projected to run dry in less than 7 years by around the year 2033. And when that happens, the law as it currently stands calls for an automatic 23 to 24% across the board cut to everyone's benefits, not just the wealthy, everyone. So lawmakers are kind of scrambling here to find ways to extend the program's solvency without politically catastrophic tax hikes or benefit cuts. And one proposal that just came out on March 24th from the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, a bipartisan think tank, is called the six-figure limit. Let me break down exactly what that means. So what is the $50,000 cap? The six-figure limit would cap Social Security benefits at $100,000 per year for married couples and $50,000 per year for a single retiree, both collecting at their normal retirement age, which is now age 67 for most people. Now, that cap adjusts based on when you claim. If both spouses wait until age 70, the couple's limit goes up to $124,000 because of the delayed retirement credit. If you take benefits early at 62, the couple's limit drops to $70,000. So it's not a flat $50,000 wall for everyone. It adjusts. But $50,000 is the baseline for singles at full retirement age. Now, here's what the CRFB projects this proposal would do. Close one-fifth of the Social Security 75-year solvency gap, save between $100 and $190 billion over the next decade, and actually boost payable benefits for the bottom 70 to 80% of beneficiaries. So on paper, it sounds like a targeted progressive fix, but as a fiduciary financial advisor, I always look beyond the headline, and there's a lot more to this story. So let's talk about the math. Who actually earns $50,000 in benefits? This is the piece most news articles completely skip, and it's the most important part. To receive $50,000 a year, about $4,167 a month from Social Security as a single retiree, you would need to have earned at or near the Social Security wage base, which is $184,500 in 2026, for approximately 35 years. Every year, 35 years of maximum earnings. So let me put that into perspective. The average Social Security benefit right now is about $1,900 a month, or roughly $22,800 a year. So the cap doesn't touch the vast majority of retirees. Right now, today, a tiny fraction of couples, less than 1%, receive $100,000 or more in annual combined benefits. So if you're watching this and you're earning an average income, this proposal does not affect you today. But here's where I want to slow down a little bit, because today is not tomorrow. Here's three perspectives. The real debate is, when I look at a policy like this, I don't give you my political opinion. That's not my job. My job is to help you understand all the sides so you can make the best financial decisions for your retirement. So let's look at this from three different angles. Perspective number one, this is too much. Some people argue that no retiree needs $100,000 in Social Security. These high benefits go primarily to high-income households who have the most private savings, pensions, and investment income. The argument is that Social Security should function more like a safety net targeted to those who truly need it. Perspective two, this is earned. Others argue, and this is a strong argument, that Social Security is an insurance program you pay into your entire career. If you contributed at the maximum level for 35 years, you have a contractual expectation of a certain benefit. And capping that benefit isn't a reform. It's kind of like a breach of contract. And perspective number three, it's one of many trade-offs. No single reform solves Social Security's solvency problem. But a benefit cap combined with other changes, adjusting the retirement age, raising the wage base, or modifying cost of living calculations, could be part of a comprehensive fix that preserves the system for everyone. But here's the deeper question I want you to sit with. Is Social Security an earnings-based retirement benefit, or is it gradually becoming a means-tested safety net? Because the answer to that question changes your entire retirement planning strategy. So the quiet risk is the inflation warning. Here's the piece that should concern everyone watching, regardless of your income. And I want you to really pay attention here, because this is where I think most people are missing the bigger picture. The proposal includes different options for how the $50,000 cap is indexed over time. Option number one is they adjust it for inflation each year. Option two, they freeze it at nominal terms for 20 years, then adjust it. And option three, freeze it for 30 years, then adjust. Now, why does this matter? Let me give you some history here. In 1983 to 1984, Congress decided to tax Social Security benefits, but only for retirees above a certain income threshold. At the time, that was $25,000 for individuals and $32,000 for couples. And at the time, only 10% of retirees paid tax on their benefits. Those thresholds were never indexed for inflation. 40 years later, those same thresholds still apply. And today, roughly 40 to 50% of Social Security recipients pay taxes on their benefits, not because Congress changed the law, but because incomes and benefits grew while the threshold didn't. That is the quiet risk of this proposal. If the $50,000 cap is frozen, even for 20 years, what today affects less than 1% of retirees could affect a much larger share of retirees by 2045 or 2060. And if you're planning for a 30-year retirement, this matters. Now, and this is important, where I put my fiduciary hat on, what does all this mean for your retirement planning decisions today? First, if you're a high earner, if you've been consistently earning at or near the Social Security wage base and you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement, this proposal is worth modeling, not panicking. What's your projected benefit? What does it look like under a cap scenario? This is exactly the kind of analysis a fiduciary financial advisor should run for you. Second, Roth conversion strategies may need to be revisited, and here's why. One of the behavioral impacts of a benefit cap is that it changes your incentive structure. If your Social Security benefit is going to be limited, then tax-free income from a Roth IRA becomes even more valuable as a supplemental income source in retirement. Higher income earners should be looking at their Roth conversion window, especially in low income years before retirement or before Social Security kicks in. And third, claiming age decisions may shift. If a cap is in place, waiting until age 70 to claim benefits, which normally maximizes your lifetime benefit, may reach a ceiling under this proposal. For some high income earners, the optimal claiming strategy could change. This is not a reason to claim early, but it's a reason to revisit the math with your advisor. And fourth, for most of you, don't panic. If your projected benefit is below $50,000 a year, this proposal doesn't directly affect you today. But the broader message is critical here. Social Security alone is not a complete retirement plan. It was never designed to be that way. And proposals like this are a reminder of why building multiple income streams, Roth accounts, brokerage accounts, maybe real estate and other savings is the foundation of a resilient retirement plan. So what should you do right now? So let me just close with four practical steps, because that's what I'm here for. Step one, find out what your projected Social Security benefit is. Go to ssa.gov, create a My Social Security account if you haven't. Pull your earnings record and your projected benefit at age 62, 67, and 70. That's your baseline. Step two, check if you're in the affected range. If your projected benefit at 67 is significantly below $4,100 a month, this proposal affects you indirectly, but not directly. If you're approaching that range, it's worth a planning conversation. Step three, revisit your Roth conversion strategy, especially if you have pre-tax 401k or IRA assets. The years between retirement and age 73 before required minimum distributions kick in are often your best Roth conversion window. And step four, don't make any decisions based on what might happen. This is still a proposal. It is not law, but it is a signal, a clear signal that Social Security reform is coming in some shape or form. The most financially resilient people I work with don't wait for certainty. They plan for a range of outcomes. If you want to run through what these scenarios look like for your specific situation, drop your question in the comments below. I read everyone and try to respond accordingly. If this video helped you think differently about your Social Security strategy, hit the like button, subscribe, and share it with someone who's within 10 years of retirement. And once again, this is Brian, the Wealth Decisions Guy. Thanks for listening, and I hope to see you next week.